Right now it is time for Real News. It's time where we get together with Brian Ross and we take a look at some stories that are out there. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall.
And here we are. It is November 12th. The election, I think, went off for fairly smoothly, seeing as that we had so many mail-in ballots, so many drop-off ballots, and so many people showing up at the polls, that I didn't expect to get a winner on election night. And basically, we have a projected winner. It was 3 days afterwards, but the president has not yet conceded, and the president has ordered nobody in his administration to cooperate with Joe Biden and hit Joe Biden's potential administration. And it opens up a very serious question to me, and that is, A, you don't have to have the president concede. There are still three states that are counting. Even if there were the worst abuses in each one of those states, there's no way that the lead can be overcome. And second, you don't have to concede to have your transition team work together with the opposing party who appear to have won the election.
Well, you don't, but since his official at the General Services Administration, the GSA, who kind of makes this call, it seems like he has to do something to acknowledge that the election is over. And so far, this stalling tactic is so very typical of the man who was our 45th president and, you know, the one-term president. And he is going to be a loser, whether he likes it or not, and that's how he'll go down in history. And he got a lot of votes. In fact, 71 million votes. But this final sort of childish tantrum about not leaving and blocking the Biden team and the next government of the United States from taking over and getting things going. There's a lot to do. I mean, those who celebrated the Biden victory should acknowledge that as they're sitting around in Delaware now figuring out what to do, there is a lot to do, starting with the coronavirus, which is it's a geometric progression is what's going on. And that means it's doubling every 7-14 days, which is a lot.
You know, you look at this election and you say to yourself, okay, Donald Trump increased his vote total by about 3.5 million from 4 years ago. But right now, standing at this point, Joe Biden is closing in on 78 million votes. Now, what most people don't realize when they look at this election in perspective, to unseat a sitting president, this is simply an astounding number for Joe Biden. And with North Carolina called and Arizona and eventually Georgia called, the Electoral College count, once again, you have to go back to Franklin Roosevelt to find a defeat that is much more all-encompassing for an incumbent president.
Yeah, well, it was clearly, from the numbers, the total vote count, a clear victory. You know, in the Electoral College, it's as strong as Trump had 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this tantrum is just, you know, it's really going, any legacy he had, any claim he had for actually helping the country, which is slim to begin with, is really diminished now.
Well, especially seeing as the fact, like I said, if you want to wait till all the recounts are over and concede then, that's fine. But let the normal process go on because, well, you're someone that's been following not only national figures but international figures for a long time. And our major opponents out there, and this is exactly the blueprint that Vladimir Putin, of all people, wanted to follow, which is Americans doubting their own government.
Right. And but, you know, I think that what has been impressive to me is the calm and reassuring manner of President-elect Biden in his first new news conferences and sort of saying, well, we'll get past this. Don't worry. They'll come around. We'll get there. He does know what to do. I mean, there are certain aspects that can't be done without full cooperation of the Trump administration, but there's a lot they can do, and clearly they're doing it now. They're starting to take the steps that I think are very reassuring. And just his approach on the podium there to reporters' questions and sort of, you know, in a cool and calm way, kind of laughing off sort of, you know, what Trump with Secretary of State Pompeo have been saying, to figure out, you know, the votes are there. We'll get there. It's going to be fine. Just hang in, everybody. I think that is really suggesting a lot that this next 4 years will be a lot different than the last four.
No, and that's, you know, of all the headlines that came out, what the Secretary of State said yesterday was that we're preparing for a smooth transition to another Trump term. It is really the most idiotic and most upsetting of all the comments.
And, you know, we all know what's going on. We can read the tea leaves. They are all so afraid of Donald Trump. All these Republicans who hope to have a future in the Republican Party recognize that when he receives so many votes, he's going to be a powerful figure. And to have him come against you would end your career in the Republican Party. So they're all essentially singing the Trump line right now as long as they can to make sure he doesn't turn on them as he did on the Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper. Just fired him. Outright terminate him was the word he used on Monday. He has been terminated. What kind of a president uses that kind of language?
Well, you look at the whole situation here, and so many people are worried that replacing the Pentagon and putting all political appointees instead of seasoned professionals in the position is going to affect the military somehow. I can tell you right now that there's not any general in the Joint Chiefs of Staff that is going to go to war with the American people. It's just not going. That is not going to happen.
Exactly, and you know, they're all. It's understandable you want to have political appointees, but to do this with what now 10.5 weeks left before the next administration takes over doesn't make any sense, other than to settle some perceived grievance, some score he had with Mark Esper for not backing up earlier. And you know, he's got the head of the FBI and the head of the CIA also on his hit list. We'll see if he does that. And then I think, Marshall, one thing we're going to watch is what's next for him is a world of hurt with criminal investigations at the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York City, at the District Attorney's Office in New York City, and the New York Attorney General's Office. Any one of those could really hurt him badly. And he's enjoyed a kind of immunity as president. He can't be indicted or prosecuted. Once that ends, when he becomes Citizen Trump on January 20th, a lot of things kick in. And he'll have to consider, I'm sure he is, who he wants to pardon now. And then the issue is, can he pardon himself?
Well, this is the whole thing. I would expect if he was really worried about that. Right now, I would be sitting down with negotiators from the different departments of justice that have things against me, and with my vice president, and I'd be working out a deal. Is what I would be doing, because I'll be honest with you, deals would be made just to save the country from going through what it might possibly go through.
That's what you would do, but this is a man who doesn't concede defeat, as we're seeing, doesn't make deals, will fight hard, and is considering how he can monetize this situation for himself. He is in perilous financial shape if the New York Times tax report reporting is accurate. He's got all these debts coming due. Deutsche Bank, his biggest lender, is trying to figure out how to get out from under the loans to him. But again, these criminal investigations would affect not only him, but his family. And if the Attorney General's office in New York, if that becomes a major case, as some think it might, it could conceivably lead to a seizure of some of his assets, the Trump Tower, Mar-a-Lago. So there's a lot ahead for him that is not bright. And I think he knows that now that he is about to lose the protection of being president.
Now, on the other hand, when we talk about transition, not only there's a lot going on in this country, but you also have a lot going on throughout the world. And you take a look at what's going on, not only with COVID-19 here, but within Europe. You take a look at the economies, not only here, but with Europe. You take a look at our relationship with China. You take a look at our relationship in the Mideast. There are so many different things going on right now that it's so important for it to appear that the United States government at least has its act together.
You would think so, but that seems to be lost on this president at the moment. The smooth transition has always been a hallmark of American democracy, where other countries have stumbled and haven't been able to pull it off. So we've had that record even with, you know, bitter enemies. You know, Mr. Eisenhower and Mr. Truman didn't speak to each other. There are all kinds of bad relationships back and forth. But they still got along. They still made the transition. So why cripple the incoming Biden administration? Doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't. When you take a look at the grand scheme of things, and it even affects locally. There was a race in Connecticut. I don't know if you saw this, that a mistake was made, and the Democrat who won the election, when they went back and they relooked and recounted, they found a mistake had been made, and the Republican won. So on social media, that was put up as a case in point as to why the president shouldn't concede, and that I just blew my stack, because that's exactly what that's a disinformation campaign, and what the president of the United States is doing right now is basically a disinformation campaign to discredit any real information and confuse it with fake information.
Right. Well, a mistake, and an honest mistake, is different than fraud. And there are mistakes always made in every election. But the people who work, you know, these election days, they become weeks, you know, are dedicated people. They put themselves at risk. They're out there with all kinds of things going on, wearing masks, trying to count as best they can, working under great pressure. You know, he should honor them as opposed to making these spurious allegations that there's all kinds of fraud. You know, the performance of Rudolph Giuliani at the Four Seasons Total Landscaping announcement was beyond comedy, although it was, from some point of view, hilarious that he would stand up there. And his big news conference to announce nonsense allegations occurred just as the major networks were calling the race for Joe Biden. So the only coverage came out of it that the president thought they were at the Four Seasons. They were at some down in the heels, a landscaping company next to a crematorium and a porn shop in Philadelphia.
You know, my father used to have an old joke where families would consider crematoriums with ice cream shops, and that came to my mind when the only coverage that he got out of that press conference was bad coverage. So it's good. Well, I'll take a look and see what happens in the next week. It's obvious we're in a time where there's going to be a lot to talk about. Politics-wise, but not really ongoing politics.
And you know, and the funny thing is, Mark, just to wrap up here, we're still talking about Trump, which he probably likes. We should be talking more about Biden, but the time will come.
That's exactly right. Brian, always great to speak to you.
Okay, it's great talking to you, Marshall.
Take care. Brian Ross with Real News here on Robin Hood Radio at robinhoodradio.com.